Will China come for Serbia's lithium and create a new war of resources? Now, Serbia has a large reserve of lithium, but they are not mining it yet. The president says they just might, and environmentalists are freaking out. Ukraine has lithium, incidentally. They are not mining it either. So you see why we might be making this connection. Lithium reserve, possibility for war. Am I making a connection or am I not? We have a guest today, Nick Stankovic. He joins us today and he's an expert in Asian politics and also a Serbian who has great context all the time on X. This is his first time on Redacted. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so why do you say that Europe might be freaking out about Serbia's lithium?
Well, it goes, it's connected to the whole competition with China, especially in the auto industry and batteries. And China is really ahead of the game in front of everybody. It's a little bit of less of an issue in the United States because U.S. has a lot of oil and is not necessarily so excited about electric vehicles. But of course, Germany is a huge auto producer, and China has just become the number one exporter of vehicles in the world, bypassing Germany and also last year Japan. So China is now number one exporter of vehicles, and most of it is now becoming EVs. And China is also way ahead of everybody in batteries, and Germany is kind of freaking out, as is Japan as well, because they're behind the curve. And part of that is, of course, that even if Germany catches up on some of the EV tech, there's the battery part where also China is dominant. And so Europe is trying to find alternate sources of specifically lithium. And there's been a find in Serbia it's actually been found in 2004, so it's been a while. But it's sort of been stopped because of environmental concerns, but it's now becoming hot again, as especially this sort of shock of China taking over in the automotive industry and batteries.
Now, do you think the Serbian people want it because it could be such a boon for their economy? Or is it just a matter of, much like in Alaska, we have oil gas reserves that have been not mined, litigated up to the teeth, and all of those people in those communities say, we want this, we want these jobs. Is that similar to what's happening in Serbia?
No, it's actually very different. It's actually very different. And I think most of the people in Serbia do not want it. I would say probably 2/3. And it's not even political in terms of, you know, the party in power and the opposition. I think it's actually quite universal that even most of the people who are voting, for example, for the ruling party, which is his party, are against it. And mostly because people in Serbia just don't see the value. There's obviously going to be an environmental damage. I mean, that's just sort of a given. But, you know, the number of jobs and the benefits for Serbia don't seem to be very large, at least for the people, right? I mean, the company, Rio Tinto is the company, and they're the biggest global mining company. They're looking to exploit it. And they will obviously make money. The state will make The estimate right now is that they would make maybe $100 million a year, which even for Serbia is not a lot of money. You know, that would sort of go into the state budget, which really wouldn't make a lot of things. And they're saying it's about 2,000 jobs, which is, you know, okay, but it's not transformational for Serbia. So one of the things that Vučić, I think, is trying to do, and he has said so, he's trying to make sure that at least it's not just the lithium that gets exported, but that Serbia also gets some factories to actually make batteries, and so that there's a little bit more value add and there's a little bit more that stays in Serbia of the profit of that. But I don't think that's really quite on the books just yet. So it's kind of up in the air. It's very unpopular, but there's a lot of pressure from Europe, from Germany, political pressure as well on Serbia and on President Vučić. And, you know, so I think it's a very hot issue. I don't think it's going to happen because the people are so against it. I think it's, you know, Vučić had to stop it before elections.
Interesting. Now, Europe loves to point fingers at China as a cautionary tale. They're doing things wrong, but they still are beneficiaries of Chinese imports. I'd like to ask you about the news this week that China discovered one of the world's largest metamorphic rock oil fields. That means that China now has another massive source of oil and gas and will be less dependent on Russia and other countries. So, is this a boon for China and other BRICS nations that then the West is going to have to look down their nose at and say something to poo-poo it, for lack of a better term?
Well, China is one of the biggest producers of oil by itself, but it also uses a lot, and so it has to import oil. This new fine, I would have to look at the numbers, how much of the gap it closes. But China is going through a major energy transformation. They're really a big investors in solar panels and wind energy. They now actually produce more electricity from renewable sources. This is solar, wind, and hydro than the United States uses a year. So all of United States electricity, that amount is now produced by China from renewable sources. The other half, unfortunately, is coal. So, but China is also a huge beneficiary of, or is going to be, it's in the works, it hasn't really started yet, of this, Europe giving up all this natural gas. So that's going to come to China now. China's going to take it over. They love it because they're going to get it. All that cheap gas that used to go to Europe now is going to come to China. They just have to build the pipes. They can't build the pipes fast enough from Russia. So China is in a very good position, and is going through a huge energy transformation. They're trying to obviously lower their coal dependency, and dependency also on imports. So China is in a pretty good place. And also, I mentioned to you before we started that, China's gasoline, petrol, is going to peak either this year or next year because of their switch to a lot of the EVs, right? And so the petrol use, gasoline, is actually going to peak this year, next year, one of these years. It's going to peak, and then supposedly it's going to start going down. So they are really trying to. I think for China, it's really a national security issue. They just want to be less dependent on everybody,
Right.
right? So.
One of the things when I hear environmentalists say, "Oh, we need to stop China from polluting the earth." And I say to them, well, how come your country got to peak in their emissions, but China can't? That's actually kind of a racist thing to say.
Right.
China has been signaling for the last few years they are peaking at certain types of emission type transportation and energy use. Now, you mentioned also real estate, that China may have peaked in real estate. I want to ask you about this hilarious 60 Minutes piece over the weekend talking about how China is just, they're screwed, was the whole purpose of the piece.
Well, look. So just to, I mean, I only watched some segments of the 60 Minutes. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I know the story, of course, because it's been around for so long. I've bought and sold property in China, so I'm very familiar with the situation. I'm very familiar with the sort of this ghost city story that keeps sort of popping up. People do not understand how China builds. I live in what used to be a ghost city, and now it's a 2 or 3 million person's part of town. So they just go in and they just build a lot of things. And if you go there, while it's being built or while people still haven't moved in, it really looks like a ghost city. And then, 5 or 6 years later, China is a country of 1.4 billion people. And so they've, 20, 30, 40 years ago, they lived in, there's a lot of it was, old buildings and slums and so on. So all of that was razed and all of these new buildings came out. So a lot was built. However, there is something to the truth. There is something to the story that it has peaked because if you just look at the number of vacant apartments and the number of people, China still has to urbanize. China is 66% urbanized, US is 75. So
Okay.
there's still about 100 million people, Chinese people, that will move to the cities. And so some of these empty apartments will definitely get filled up. Now, there's the market, the price might drop and all that. That will happen for sure, but they will get filled up. I mean, they're not going to be raised. So, but even with that, the amount of real estate that's been built is kind of, there's obviously going to be some replacements, some things are going to be torn down, new buildings built, but they cannot continue building like they have for the past 30 years. That is a fact.
Sure. But the
So
West said
then the
this
question
about
is,
Dubai as well. Dubai, oh, they overbuilt. No one wants that. No one cares. That's clearly not the case. It's a growing pain.
right. And that, but one of the things about, for China, it's going to be, I mean, the building is not going to stop, but it definitely has to go down in terms of the way, the speed. The thing is, at some point, it's going to, they have to transform the, there's a lot of vested interest, real estate companies, investment companies, construction companies. These have to be moved to do something else in the economy, and that won't necessarily be easy, right? That takes, 3, 4, 5, 10 years to sort of clear itself up. And that's going to be a period of maybe some, economic problems in that sector. So there's some truth to the story, but a lot of these China stories unfortunately get exaggerated, and the impact, and that's obviously going to be government help, and the government's going to step in, bailouts and companies and people. So I'm not too worried.
Right. So one of the another thing that was announced just this week was the Russian finance ministry said that it's working on a BRICS bridge, multi-sided payment platform. So we're looking at who will be a cooperative with China. China's a founding member of BRICS. So this would be a BRICS currency. The United States has sanctioned their way out of this, right? Or do you see this as a BRICS currency or maybe not?
So that's been talked a lot, and I don't think that's quite on the books, at least not in the way I think a lot of people imagine it, as sort of like a euro or like a BRICS coin. I think if it happens at all, it will be probably just sort of between central banks, sort of a clearing currency, like a basket currency that will only be for the banks. It won't be for people to use around, if
Right.
that happens at all. But I think more the conversation now is more along the lines of currency swaps between central banks and trade in local currencies. So so one of the news that I saw was that Russia was going to start taking out loans in Chinese yuan, which of course they can't really take them in dollars anymore or euros, so they sort of have to, but they're going to start doing that, and I think some other BRICS countries are going to start doing that, and then they can use that those yuan to buy other things from other BRICS countries, because the receiving countries will be able to use them, right? They can always use those yuan to go and buy stuff from China, which everybody buys stuff from China anyway. So there's going to be, essentially it's de-dollarization and replacement of the dollar for some of the trade, most of the trade, or I mean, a dollar is never going to go to zero, right? But it's going to go down from 90% to, I don't know, much lower than that. So I think that's definitely happening, and it's sort of definitely been sped up by the sanctions on Russia, right? So Russia was sanctioned. So I mean, all of this was probably going to happen anyway over 10 years or 15 or 20 years, who knows? But because of everything that happened, now it's happening within 3, 4, 5 years. So I think that's going to be quite a change. And of course, it's not going to be just BRICS, but other countries that are not necessarily members of, like Serbia, for example, might eventually plug into some of those financial systems, in addition to, being plugged into the Western, some of the countries that are not necessarily members of BRICS will be also participating in them.
Right. Yeah, that's great context. Okay, well, thank you for those explanations. I really appreciate it. I've always been looking forward to speaking with you. Again, you can follow Nick on X. He has great context there. And thank you for coming on Redacted. I hope you come back another time for this great context.
I hope so too. Great talking to you.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it, and we will see you next time, everyone.